Village. My name is Denise Miles. I'm one of the deacons here at Village, and it has been my honor and privilege to read the scripture the month of January. It's been very hard. It's been very long. I've had to read a lot of the same verse. But seriously, it has been an honor to read from this. I've personally taken my own mission to read more about Paul's letter to the Philippians, and it's actually so inspiring and ultimately just a story of bravery and endurance. So tonight we're going to be reading from chapter 4, verse 9. It's on page 1071 in your pew Bibles or on the screen behind me. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. May God please grant us understanding of this, his holy word.
Thank you, Deacon. Thank you, Deacon Denise. It's been a joy and a privilege to serve with you. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, and with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary, Lord, for you. This is my prayer. Keep calm
and keep on. Has anybody seen the body of Christ? A leg here, a hand there. It seems that some assembly may be required because we are not always together. While we were encouraged not to forsake the assembly of the saints, it does not take much for us to give up on this meeting. 2 inches of snow, a bad hair day, or a good sale. And we skip this meeting, this manna, this message carried by the first disciples until now. And this Sunday morning gathering is not to be confused with any other meeting, for there is nothing like it. In fact, all week long, God has been calling this meeting and been interrupted. This meeting has been rescheduled and delayed and pushed back and reduced to 1 hour, one day of the week. Now God takes a number and waits to be called. There are 168 hours in a week, and God fights for just one of them. We arm wrestle God for more sleep. God is cheated and the opportunity passed up. God is at the mercy of our feelings, and the likelihood of our attendance is reduced to a coin toss. We are calling heads or tails, and God's hand is raised saying, "Ooh, pick me, pick me, pick me." Not able to get a word in edgewise or otherwise, the worship experience allows for an uninterrupted dialogue, the sweet exchange of earth for heaven, our hubris for God's holiness, our pride for Christ's peace, our anxiety for the awareness of the Spirit with us and within us. But we have convinced ourselves that we can hold it together, keep it together, that our bond remains strong with or without this meeting. To be sure, our fellowship is not falling apart, but we often speak as if God is, as if God has a few screws loose. At some point, we connected God to our feelings, actions, and time constraints. Along the way, God became more human and less divine. The more time we shared with God, the more we believed that we shared more in common. I'm not sure when it happened, but one day, God switched places with us. Jesus became our little brother instead of our elder brother. Persons assigned to be Christ's hands and feet, now we believe we are quite literally card-carrying members of the Trinity, Father, Son, Spirit, and me. And if Jesus is our little brother, then God is the senile parent. I hear God talked about as if God is not all there. Critiquing the church's relevance, some speak as if God doesn't know what is going on or what was said last or even what today's date is. Instead, God needs to be assisted, taken care of. God needs to be helped out and helped around. And don't tell God, but we are preparing for the inevitable. No, not death, but a reconfiguration. We have an idea and we just need to run with it. It's what God wants. We have moved ourselves into the position of caregiver and given ourselves power of attorney. Entrusted with the church, we have begun to make decisions on behalf of God, as if God is unable to make sound judgments. God's words are considered outdated. God's will for humanity is challenged. And as with any will, fights have broken out about what God wanted us to have. We behave as if God is a project, that God does not have it all together. We believe that God is missing pieces that we have around here somewhere, that God is not a finished work and requires some assembly. Perhaps this is why the church is more of an organization and less the body of Christ. Confess Jesus, be baptized. You are a Christian now. Here's a brochure and a Bible if you have any questions. We'll see you at 11 a.m. on Sunday. Choose your seat and sit in it for the next 50 years. But the body of Christ is not an organization. Though the world views us as such, Jesus did not say, "Upon this rock I will build my 501c3. Consequently, we are not employees and supervisors, donors and stakeholders. In the Gospel of John, Jesus called us his friends. Jesus didn't lay down his life for a business partner, for an office staff, for the good of the company. No, he did it for his BFFs, his best friends forever. Eugene Peterson writes in his memoir, The Pastor, "A church can never be reduced to a place where goods and services are exchanged. We're not even volunteers, but siblings who serve one another. In fact, the Apostle Paul says we are members of one another. He tells the church at Rome, 'For as in one body we have many members, and not all members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ. And individually, we are members one of another.' Now then, we don't belong to a building, do we? We belong to each other." Eugene Peterson writes in The Message, "Each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole, not the other way around. The body we are talking about is Christ's body of chosen people. Each of us finds our meaning and function as a part of his body. And Jesus did not merely volunteer to be the savior of the world. Christ did not show up to be the Messiah because it was his turn. No, he came out of love. And he came as a gift. For God so loved the world that he gave. Thus, we are not the body of Christ when we are available. Jesus called us and we answered, just as the first disciples did. We didn't raise our hands to follow Jesus. We were not standing in line to suffer with him. We can point to no sign-up sheet for salvation. Jesus says, 'You didn't choose me. I chose you.' We are not the body of Christ because it looks good or it's the right thing to do. This commitment is not something that we place on our resumes or are sure to mention on job interviews. While we are called to serve the world, Christian service is not comparable to community service. Our faith in action is worth more than community service hours. I want eternity. And James, the brother of Jesus, told me that if I persevere, I will receive a crown of life. When we serve as the body of Christ, we are not just hanging out at the hospital, passing out snacks during the service, singing a song, or reading from a book. No, we are being shaped, transformed by the renewing of our minds, and conformed to the image of Christ. We are speaking and sharing in Christ's body language. We're not the body of Christ based on our schedules. Well, I can be the hands on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Okay, I can be the mouth on Sunday. We cannot be a part-time body of Christ. The body of Christ, and any body for that matter, does not work that way. Our heart cannot take a 15-minute break. Our lungs cannot take the day off. Our minds cannot go on vacation. We are not the body of Christ by appointment. Nobody could survive, thrive, and function without continual connection to all of its members. No relationship is able to develop or mature with this kind of commitment. Our labor is not contractual. This work is not to be confused with secular employment. No, we are a covenanted people who are connected to Christ's cross, not a clock. Still, it does not seem that much has changed. The Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. warned in a letter from the Birmingham jail, "If today's church does not recapture the sacrificial spirit of the early church, it will lose its authenticity, forfeit the loyalty of millions, and be dismissed as an irrelevant social club with no meaning for the 20th century. He continues, every day I meet young people whose disappointment with the church has turned into outright disgust. Sadly, the same can be said of the 21st century. Many persons are still waiting for the church to show up. Has anybody seen the body of Christ? They say when the cat's away, the mice will play. And I have found that when the pastor is away, the sheep will stray. While we believe in the priesthood of all believers, we behave in ways that contradict this confession, as if the pastor is the placeholder in our personal relationship with God. This may have been the Apostle Paul's concern. He writes to the church at Philippi to remind them of who they are and what they believe. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. In the absence of a pastor, the covers are pulled back and we can see who we are and how much each of us actually does. Because the pastor can and often does cover for us, making up the difference and taking up the slack. So in the middle of the road, in this interim period, we will quickly realize who is holding the rope and who is pulling for this congregation. And as Paul mentions, like children and their parents, we behave differently when the pastor is around. Paul tells the church at Philippi that no one can do the work of salvation for you. We cannot copy off of the life of another, take credit for their work and witness. Instead, we are responsible for practicing the disciplines that draw us closer to Christ and into community with other believers. As a body, we all have a part to play, which is why we must keep calm and keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen. You've gone to Sunday school. Your deacon has prayed with and visited you. You've heard numerous sermons. And it has been modeled for the past 33 years with Pastor Bruce Salmon by the pastors before him, the early church, the first disciples and martyrs, the apostles, and by Christ himself. Our ministry and our spiritual life does not begin or end with a pastor, because Christ is the head of the body. Jesus is still calling us to keep on leading and loving, teaching and serving, singing and praying, preaching and baptizing in his name. Beloved, we have great work to do together. So keep calm and keep on. God, our rock upon whom we stand when life seems shaky, help us to keep up your good work, your holy work, as we look and listen out for our next pastor. Give us the desire and the grace to serve as a member of your body during this uncertain time. Keep us calm. And help us to keep on. In Christ's name we pray, amen. 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 Yes. Keep calm. It's easy to do. If you don't know Jesus in the park of your sins.
The choir will now come up and help us through this next hymn, which may not be familiar to many. It's on page 293, Hope for a Faith, a Living Life. The choir will do the opening chorus and verse, and then everyone will join in.
And our bishop, and we'll